We're continuing the laws of Chol HaMoed in the Shone Halachot. The Jerusalem Talmud tells us that we have to be careful not to destroy the spirituality of Chol HaMoed. The whole idea of giving us Chol HaMoed was as a time to connect to God. Some time for Hitbodedut, some time for learning Torah. That's why you all around the community you have Shiurim. And if a person spends his time watching TV or doing other wasteful things on the computer or whatnot, so then the Jerusalem Talmud says it's worse than if he'd be working on Chol HaMoed. God says, so to speak, I gave you time to get close to me and you waste that time. That's why the rabbis in the Jerusalem Talmud say if it were up to us, we would let people work on Chol HaMoed because they're wasting their time anyways. They should be doing positive things and they're wasting their time. So we have to be careful not to do that. Now this leads us to the next halacha, which is very important. Oh, you guys, listen closely. It's nogea everyone. You're supposed to take a haircut, shave, cut your nails before Yom Tov. The rabbis prohibited doing these things on Chol HaMoed with the specific intent to ensure that you do your laundry, take your haircut, take your shave, cut your nails before Yom Tov. The rabbi said, if we let people do it on Chol HaMoed, what's going to happen is people are going to come into Pesach and into Sukkot. Everyone's busy. We're all cleaning and burning our chametz and calling everyone to wish them good Yom Tov. It's busy, right? So then you won't take a haircut. You'll say, I'll take it after the first day. I'll take it Matzah Yom Tov. You won't cut your nails. You won't do your laundry. I'll do it on Chol HaMoed. I'm not working anyways. So Chazal said, prohibit it. There's a rabbinic prohibition to taking a haircut, shaving, doing laundry on Chol HaMoed. Now, a person should be careful. You don't have to do it the day before Pesach. You could do it 2 days before Pesach. On the eve of Pesach after Chatzos, the afternoon, you're not supposed to do work. So if you're going to take your haircut and shave and laundry on the eve of Pesach, make sure to do it in the morning. Once noontime comes, you're not supposed to be doing work anymore. You have to start resting and getting ready for Yom Tov. So get your haircuts early. Get them a week before Pesach. A person has to come into Yom Tov looking decent, with his clothing decent. What happens if a person shaves every day? Yeah? What happens if a person is clean-shaven and on Chol HaMoed he's going to look terrible because he's not shaving? So then there are many halachic authorities that permit it. If you're dating, then a word to the wise. Many frumis will tell you, no, you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. And if you show up to the date clean-shaven, she'll think you're not so frum. So it depends on what kind of girl you're dating. Yeah. If she knows enough, so then she might know that there are halakhic authorities that say it is okay. If she doesn't know enough, then she might not be bothered with the fact that you're shaving. So if you're clean shaven, there are opinions that say, in honor of Yom Tov, you should keep shaving, because if provided you shaved on the eve of Yom Tov. If you did your job and shaved coming into Yom Tov, you came in clean shaven, so then that's the best you could have done. So then there are opinions that permit shaving on Chol HaMoed as well. Okay, there are a lot of rules if a guy just got out of jail or other things that where the rabbis would permit him to shave, but the general rules, it's prohibited. There's an important note here that a woman is allowed to take off whatever private hairs that she ordinarily takes off. So again, if she did her job before Yom Tov and now on Yom Tov she wants to do the same, pedicure, whatever they call that stuff, where they take off other hairs other than on their head, so then that would be permitted. It's not called a pedicure? Ah, see how much I know. Okay. Okay. Another time that this comes up is people want to do a chalakah. They want to give a kid his first haircut on Chol HaMoed. They shouldn't really do that. People should do it either before Yom Tov or after Yom Tov. Cutting your nails. So if you cut your nails before Yom Tov, you could cut them during Chol HaMoed in honor of Yom Tov whenever it's necessary. The truth is it's a machlokas, but our custom is that we do not cut nails on Yom Tov. But again, if you did it beforehand, then you could do it on Yom Tov. If it's necessary because a person's he's got an ingrown toenail or whatnot, so then of course he's allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Okay, that brings us to the halachos of what's permitted on Chol HaMoed. So, you're allowed to buy food that you're going to eat on Chol HaMoed. So sometimes people again say, oh, there's a sale on apples. There's a sale on oil. How much oil are you going to use in Chol Moed? One bottle? Yeah, but it's a good sale. So if a person's destitute and that those few shekels are going to make a huge difference to them, again, there's room to discuss it. But ordinarily we say, Reuven, what was your wording? What? It's not a loss, it's...
And you're missing a missed opportunity.
A missed opportunity. Missed opportunity is usually not loss. So just because there's a sale, very often there are sales on Chol Moed, ever since the government became anti-religious, so the government is turning a blind eye to the law that says you're not allowed to open stores on Chol Moed. There is such a law here in Israel, but the government has blatantly said they're going to ignore it. And so now stores that open on Chol Moed make sales because they're trying to entice you to come because they know a lot of people won't buy on Chol Moed. So that's not a reason to allow us to buy. And there's another reason we shouldn't, and that is because we shouldn't be encouraging these people to be open on Chol Moed. It's against the halacha for most people. So someone once asked, if I know of a store that's open on Chol Moed, should I boycott them the rest of the year? And here I think the answer is you should not, because we don't know what a person's financial situation is. Could be that he's heavily in debt. And for him, it's permissible to open his store because he's really having a tough time. And it could be his employees have nothing to eat on Yom Tov. So we shouldn't be judging other people, but we shouldn't patronize them on Chol Moed, because we have no reason to assume what they're doing is permissible. So we don't go into a store. If you know the guy is, you know, that for him it's permitted to open his store on Chol Moed, that's one thing. But ordinarily our assumption is that we don't go buying things on Chol Moed unless you need them for Chol Moed. You need you need food on Chol Moed. So you go to the supermarket, you buy the food you need. But just because they have a sale on certain items doesn't mean you should stock up on them. That's not permitted. Okay,
Rob, would that mean that say you need some oil to cook something on Chol Moed, then you're not allowed to buy the big bottle of oil, you must buy a small container?
No, I think once you're buying, that's okay. But you shouldn't buy two bottles, you should buy the one.
What about like, you buy one and get one free with it? Like,
so you get the one free, that's okay. But to buy two, that's not. Yes?
You're going to donate the difference to Zeka.
Doesn't matter. It's a good question. Okay. Now, what happens if you have bread from Yom Tov, but you don't want to eat it? You want fresh bread. That's okay. But you shouldn't say, you know, I want fresh this and fresh that. I want fresh olive oil. You have olive oil. Do you really need fresh olive oil? That doesn't really work. On Pesach, you shouldn't be buying bread. Right. Thank you. That's a good point.
Are we talking about Yom Tov in general?
Right. Chol Moed in general. Right. Now, you don't have to buy exactly that amount that you're going to use. You want to make coffee. So you don't have to buy the small packs of coffee. You could buy a big pack of coffee. And whatever you'll use. If you're baking bread, you don't have to tell yourself, how many slices is everyone here going to eat? And that's how much I'm going to bake. No, once you're baking, you bake so that you have enough for everyone. And even if there'll be a little bit to spare, that's okay. Okay, we obviously turn on our oven and we use what we need on Yom Tov.
Somebody ask about games, video games. Yes, I say no.
We pick fruit if we want to eat it on Yom Tov. We'll get to that. Let's say you want fresh nana. You have one of those filters where, you know, they sell those nets where you can make fresh nana. You want to go fishing. You want to eat fresh fish. Yeah. So, yeah. You want to eat fresh fish. So that's okay. Whatever you're gonna eat. You might say, I went fishing, but I want to find a big bass. Is bass kosher? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, you can say every time I'm throwing in my net, or every time I'm throwing in the reel, what's that called?
The hook.
I'm hoping I'll get a better catch. So I'm still fishing because I'm hoping I'll get something else. And then you can pickle all the fish you caught, because the truth is that you might get a better catch for Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed. That's okay. You're allowed to do things that you need for Yom Tov. You just have to be a little bit careful. Let's take an example. There are actions which, if people see it, they know you're doing it for today. Then there are actions which, if people see it, it looks like you're not doing it for today. We said that if a person has nothing to eat, he can do work, even specialty work on Yom Tov. But he should do it privately, because no one knows why he's doing it. You have a person who's going to sew clothing. He's going to be a tailor. He shouldn't be open on Yom Tov. But if he has to be open because he's in debt or he can't make ends meet, so then he should do it privately. He shouldn't have a sign open in his shop. There are ways to do things privately. Okay. So that's one of our issues with the stores that are open. Even if they need to make a living, they have to find ways of doing it that they're not publicly desecrating the Yom Tov. We do allow supermarkets to open, because everyone knows the supermarket's open to allow you to buy food for Yom Tov.
So can we go back to the person who opens because he's in debt? Isn't vast majorities of all, pretty much every business that in existence has some form of debt? Yeah?
I don't know. What do you mean? They have mortgages? What do you mean?
They have lines of credit. They have bills. They exist on credit, and at the end, they sell it. And sometimes it's longer debt, and sometimes it's shorter debt. But if there's debt, like, is that like a loophole that people use? Is it? You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but people also have a cash flow. Meaning it's true that a person has debt, but debt is a healthy part of the business. You can't say, I'm in debt, so I have to work on Chol HaMoed.
So you're saying if they're in a horrible financial situation, then...
I'm saying it depends on what debt. You can't say, I bought a $50 million house, and I'm only making $2 million a year. It's going to take me 25 years to pay it off. I'm in debt. I have to work on Chol HaMoed.
My problem is it's a relative...
Right, you might have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi, because people are very... I'm saying people will be very biased. Every person will tell you, I can't afford to take the week off. What do you mean? You go to the Bahamas twice a year.
Well, no, let's say you're in football arts, and your kid's education costs $14,000 a year.
I understand.
Right,
that's great, but let me ask you. Usually, in such a scenario, if you're paying full tuition, the $14,000 a year per kid, and you got your six kids, so you're making ends meet to cover that after taxes, right? If you're making ends meet, that means you're making the $250,000 a year? Okay, so then you could say, yeah, but I have a mortgage, and I have to pay off the car, and I have a ton of debt, and it might be true. But it might be that you'll easily take the week off for the Bahamas and pay the airfare and take a fancy hotel. So then take that week off on Chol HaMoed.
So, but that's for, but because the halacha is such a relative, from the way you're describing it, that, you'd have to get the ruling from an LOR.
You have to get the ruling from an LOR because people are very biased. So technically, you'll present them with the facts, and it should be pretty clear. The problem is that what's really clear is unclear because we're all biased. But it's not such a big deal.
All right.
I'm saying usually if you just ask a few questions, you get the picture.
Right.
I have a very dear friend who works his head off all year. And I'm... For years, when I was younger, I would tell him, why don't you take some time off? And he could never take time off. Never has time off. You can't. He'd always tell me, my business would collapse. And I'd say, you haven't been in Israel in a decade. You haven't seen the Kotel. How could you let that go by? Fly in for a weekend. Stay by me. You won't have to pay the hotel fare. But come see the Kotel daven. I daven every day. I understand, but come and see Israel. No one to talk to. No one home. Okay. So his son comes to learn in yeshiva, and he's in a car accident, and he's hospitalized. And suddenly the guy flies over here, and he spends 3 months at his son's bedside. And this is the guy who told me, I can't, if I leave my business even for a weekend, who knows, the business will collapse. He spends 3 months at the kid's bedside. So at one point, when things were already stable and everything was normal, I asked him, I said, how's your business managing without you? And he looks at me and says, if I didn't build a business that can manage without me, then I didn't build a business. I'm here, I have the cell phone, they could talk to me, I have cameras all over the business, I zoom in, and I'm thinking, right, all these years, he couldn't take off a weekend to come to Israel. Okay, you know, I feel bad, because he was kidding himself all these years. It's not that he couldn't, and it's the same thing with Chol HaMoed. People say, I can't take Chol HaMoed off. Maybe. Maybe. I'm saying there are times when it, yeah, the kid's okay. But Baruch Hashem is okay. But I'm saying that life has taught me that people will present a very dire situation. Now, a woman called me up one year. It was the second day of the 9 days, right? We have from Rosh Chodesh Av till Tisha B'Av, where you're not supposed to take a haircut. So she says, I called you because I knew you'd find a leniency for me. I didn't get a chance. I didn't get a chance to take a haircut. And it's so hot this summer. It's so hot this summer. You got to understand. I know you'll understand. Tell me I could take a haircut. So I consulted with one of my rabbeim. And he said, you know what the halacha says in dire circumstances, if you do it with a shinoi, tell her to have whoever's giving her the haircut, if it's her daughter or whoever it is, they should take a knife, you know, and use a comb with a knife and cut her, give her a haircut. It'll take 3 times as long and it won't be as comfortable, but, you know, that's okay. So I call her back and I say that, and she says, I'll wait till after Tisha B'Av. Wait a second. When you called the first time, this is terrible. You know, I'm suffering the heat. It's impossible. Then you tell her, okay, you'll just have to do it in a way that'll take much longer and it'll be less comfortable. And suddenly, never mind. But your daughter was going to give you the haircut. And you told me it's not so complicated. It's just like grabbing the you know, she said, I'll put my hair in a cuckoo and she'll just cut off. I said, fine, so do it with a knife. No, that's okay. Okay. Fine, so that's what I'm saying. We're all that way. You know, we hear someone else's story, it sounds funny. But the truth is, we're all that way. What?
I love that line. I wanted to call you to find your leniency.
Yeah, you love that line. I wonder what that says to me. Okay, so we said you don't launder on Chol HaMoed. We don't have to go into the leniencies. None of you are getting out of prison. You're not getting into prison. Okay, what is relevant to us is this. If your clothes got stained, then you're allowed to clean a stain off. If you have little children, so then children get their clothes very dirty, you're allowed to clean their clothing. If you have only one pair of clothing, sometimes you don't have many clothing, and then your clothing get all dirty, so then you should try to do it privately. Because halachically, you're not supposed to launder on Chol HaMoed. Yeah, sometimes a guy says, I got 3 shirts. I wore them on Yom Tov. My clothing's all stained. Okay, you got nothing else. It's all dirty. So,
Well, given the choice, should you go out and buy a new one or should you launder?
So some people say go out and buy a new one. I think that's good for people who can really afford it. You know, there was a time, I remember, I once came to yeshiva and I was going to be there only 2 days. And I suddenly realized I hadn't brought shirts with me. So I went to a store next to the yeshiva, and this was like this cheap, they were actually the manufacturers of shirts, and I asked them, what's the cheapest shirt you got? And it was $14. I said to myself, the bus ride home is $8, the bus ride back is $8, it's cheaper for me to buy a new shirt. Mm-hmm. Aside from the time, I'm saying, I still have that shirt. It was like, it's a cheap shirt, but it's lasted all these years. This is a decade and a half by now. Wow. Okay, so... Yeah, I'm saying sometimes it's not a big deal to buy a shirt. Fine.
Right.
Sometimes it is a big deal to buy a shirt.
People besides me who bought clothes instead of doing laundry at some point.
Yeah, so I'm saying if you're in that scenario, if you're wearing t-shirts where you could buy them for like 3 shekel a t-shirt, whatever, fine. But we said you should try to be dressed nicely on Chol HaMoed. And technically, we don't do laundry on Chol HaMoed, but sometimes a person finds that the clothing he has are stained and he's got nothing left. And okay, so there's room to be lenient where necessary, but we really have to be cornered in order to do it. And if we're going to do it, we should do it privately, because technically there is a rabbinic prohibition on laundering clothing.
So, but there's not a rabbinic prohibition on shopping.
So again, you're not supposed to shop, but you'll tell me I got nothing else to wear. The question is, which is better?
Like, the better of two evils.
It's a tough call. I heard that rabbis who say better buy clothing, and I think they meant to buy them before Yom Tov comes in. I don't think they meant it on Yom Tov, but I'm not sure. I've heard the quote. I think do it privately, because there's another angle of leniency, and that is that our laundry is different than their laundry. We're not standing there working the laundry. You're putting it into a machine and pushing a button.
Right.
Okay, but we don't rely on that. Halachically, we still say our laundry is prohibited. So a person says, yeah, but all my clothing are stinky, and I'd never walk around this way, and now they're all dirty. Okay, so then I say, fine, but do it quietly.
Right, so if you had to go to a laundromat, you'd probably...
A laundromat would be a big problem.
Yeah.
Right. A laundromat, I don't see how we could permit.
I'm going to finance. Are there any special banking, like if I was giving loans out, or like cheshbon, like accounting kind of thing? Are there any special halakha for that, or is that just the general that you can do without?
We'll get there.
It's a complicated question because it really encompasses many questions. We'll just break it down for a second just because it'll give us a lot of insight into many different halachot. He's going to be in banking. So he's going to get a job there. What? Hopefully he's going to get a job there. Let's say he'll be a loan officer at some point and a person comes in for a loan to buy a house. So let's assume your clientele right now in Chutzarts are not Jewish. So our issue number one is giving a loan a prohibited task on Chol Hamoed? So that's a question in its own right, because technically that's business. It's not real commerce. It's not that you're bartering. You're not buying an item. You're giving him a loan of money in exchange for which he will pay a certain amount of interest
money
to the bank. Money lending is not as severe as commerce, because technically it's not commerce.
So commerce is defined as buying and selling of goods.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's a halachic discussion. It starts in the Tosfos. Do we view money lending as commerce or not? So that's one aspect of the question. Number two aspect, I'm saying we won't get to the bottom line just yet, but just so we see the breakdown of the question. You're doing a job. You're not the one giving the loan. It's the bank who's giving the loan. So assuming, again, the other party is not Jewish and the bank is not Jewish. So then your main question is, what about my job on Yom Tov? So does my job involve authorizing commerce from a bank? So those are going to be the angles of leniency, that the bank most of the time is not Jewish and the buyer is most of the time not Jewish. So then the primary question is, are you allowed to be doing your work on Chol Hamoed? Well, the next question is, will the bank fire you if you don't show up? Will you be penalized? Will you lose your status as a chosen employee? Or
that comes in the loss category.
Right, and then that could put you in the loss category. Then comes another question. Okay, but I'm doing it publicly. What about the farhesia? So when you go to Chutzarts, unfortunately, in the United States at least, it's pretty well understood by the masses that you don't have much of a choice. And it's basically been accepted by many in the United States that you work on Chol Hamoed, because if not, you're going to lose your job or be penalized.
I don't know if it makes any difference, this question.
But I'm not sure it's right. That's where we started earlier tonight.
Better to work from home or better to work in the office?
Better to work from home.
Okay.
The advantage of working from home is that it's less public. The disadvantage is that your kids are seeing you working. Well, your kids, you'll explain it to. And hopefully you won't have to work. It's better to work from home because we don't want to publicly desecrate the Chol Hamoed. Wherever possible, we do things privately. We'll get there. Good question, we'll get there. I want to try and encompass it. So let's... Yes?
So if you're a loan officer and a Jewish guy comes in to get a loan...
Right, right. That's the next question. That's a big problem. That's a big problem. Because what makes it permissible to him? Why are you allowed to be an accomplice? I would try to opt out. I would say, why don't you go to the next guy? Try not to be the one to work versus a Jew, because you're really running into a big question. Why would that be permitted? So you could say it's not my problem, it's their problem. Yeah, you could say that. But if you can get out of it, that's probably the better route to go.
But you, what, America, you don't
You don't know. You can assume the guy's not Jewish.
You can't just be like, oh.
Yeah, but if he says, hi, I'm Chaim Goldberg.
Yeah, but if he's like, okay, I'm Bruce Goldberg, maybe he's half, you can't be like, excuse me, are you Jewish? And he says yes, and you're like, oh, sorry, I'm not getting a loan. That comes up a little bit.
Hello. So no one in America.
Okay. There are opinions about whether it's correct, whether it's permissible to play music on Chol HaMoed. So you can rely on the more lenient opinions that it's okay. Okay, we already covered half the laws.